for this opportunity to gather together for now and to hear your word and to hear your heart. Father God, this morning I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts so that we could come to understand how much you really love us. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us a mind to understand. And the courage to go forth and speak your word. In Jesus' name.
Amanda.
Oh, sinners, Father, Lord God, we just pray that you are Lord over all, everything in our lives, Lord God. Everything that we do, Lord, I just pray, Father, that we invite you just to speak to us, Lord, to love us and correct us, Lord. And Father, if we need this time where we ask you to forgive us, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord God, as we're worshiping, that anything that holds us back from getting to know you closer, Lord God, we ask you right now, Lord, forgive us for our sin, Father, and teach us today, Lord God, how to let go of things, how to be overcomers, Lord, how to hear your voice, Lord. Have that desire to worship and obey you, Lord. Lord, I know sometimes I find myself just completely desiring just to hear from you, Lord God, and wanting all your goodness, Father, and all the promises that you give. But Father, sometimes I have a little bit of a hard time with obedience, like I'm sure we all do. Going out on a limb here, and I'm thinking we all have that problem. But Lord God, I praise you for your patience and for your love, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you love each and every one of us individually, Lord. And you meet us exactly where we are, Father. And whatever sin that we are in right now, you come to us and you say, you know what, I can free you of that. And whatever temporary happiness you think that this brings you, I can bring you eternal joy. And I praise you for that, Father. Help us to overcome that. Help none of us, like what we're going to be singing in a moment, help none of us be caught in sin that helps us remain in inward shame. I remember for so many years, that was me. I had so much shame, I let it hold me back. But if I only let myself realize that freedom in you, Father, help us not to wait any longer, Lord God. Help us to have freedom.
No one caught it in me.
Kids, Lord God, when I'm jogging, anything, Lord God, I want people to know that I have that joy, the joy of the Lord. And when I meet others, Lord God, help me to share my testimony unashamedly, Lord God, because the darker my past was, Lord God, it just shows how brighter my life has been since I've met you, Father. Father, I just give you this day, Lord God, and I pray, Father, that we come here with hungry hearts, Lord God, and ready to learn, Lord. We lift up Heidi's daughter to you, or Heidi to you right now, Lord God, and her son, this baby, Lord God, that you just protect them, Lord, that you give her joy, Father, that you touch her mind and her heart, and just I pray that the baby will be able to go home today with Heidi, Lord, and talking to Susie's daughter today, Lord, just lift them up, Father, and help her even through the situation, Lord God, just to get closer with you, Father, and to truly 100% just rely on you, Lord God. We lift up anything that's weighing our hearts down right now, Lord God, and Father, we also praise you for just amazing praise reports, Lord God. There's so many different reasons to come to you, Father, but I pray that in every step that we take, Lord, and everything that we're going through, that we do come to you, Lord God, that we have that relationship with you. We don't think of you as a far-off God, but someone that's here right with us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
March 28th to the U.S. Sundome. Tickets are about $23. You get them at the Joy FM. In March, we're doing, we had all that running 5K run, superhero run that we just did. We decided to be very unhealthy with our families. So we're doing an all-you-can-eat on Tuesday, March 21st for the families. And for the youth, everybody's welcome to come out. We're going to have a little wing-eat contest. About $15. Everybody's at the time of fellowship.
The contest?
And, well, there is a contest. Who can eat the most wings? Who can eat the hottest wings? Who can eat the most hottest wings? So we drive by about 15 years. Love to have you. And Adam, just for his friendly competition, Adam.
Yeah.
Friendly.
We'll cheer you on,
Adam. I'm just saying. Not saying anything other than that. Also, if you love kids, man, we would sure love for you to help in the children's ministry on Sundays, just once a month. If you're a single person here or you're a couple and you just love the Lord and you're wanting a place to minister, man, we would love to have you pour into these kids and to share with them the love of Christ and to pray over them and to encourage them. So if you're interested in that at all, please see Lisa. Our job here is to equip the saints for the ministry. We don't have tons of, you know, cool coffee shops. Oh, boy. We don't have cool coffee shops. I want to talk to you before. I might wait a week because I wanted to talk to you.
I had brought those things in.
I know. I had a video, but I didn't. Right. Anyway, don't
leave. That I can enlist in that kind of response.
Yes, yes, you can. Just talk to me afterwards. Okay, I'm still praying and wondering if the Lord still wants me to do it today. So if you feel led, then you just say, you know what, I feel led by the Lord to do it today, not next week, and then I'll just say, come on, okay?
Okay.
Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so anyway, we've got sermons online. If you're looking for additional teachings, if you've missed out on something, we're going through Romans and Kings. We have a motor library, the back door on the left. Christian books and audio CDs and family DVDs, all Christian. We got free 2-week loaners. You're welcome to just check it out and grow in the Lord, and we encourage you to do that. We meet here in the morning. I'm so excited. It's great to see. It was just usually a couple people that come for prayer. Now there's like a dozen people here praying every Sunday morning. Love it, love it, love it. And just to hear those prayers going out and going forth. And I just want to encourage you to come out. I think the prayers actually get started probably more like around 9:30-ish. But I want to invite you out to that on Sundays. Also, this Tuesday, I think, is the Women's Bible Study. And they're going to be a salad dinner for this week. And it's going to be The Nature of Jesus with Gail Irwin. Lisa, where are you? I heard of yes. Is there anything that you want to say?
No, we had a lot of people that were out sick last time, so we canceled it. But this time we're picking right back up. So we'd love to have you come on out.
Okay. Cool. Okay. And the next piece is Gail Irwin. So, also, teen girls are also invited to that, just so you know. And that's this Tuesday at 6:30 and 7 p.m. for Bible study. Also, this Thursday night, we have barbecue and Bible study. There's always a great dinner here. And then we have a nice time of fellowship and Bible study afterwards here on Thursday nights. I think we're going to be doing Kings this week. Tommy did a really good job on the Bible study. I saw you did a really good job on last week's Bible study as well. So, really great. And continue to pray for our way to the Christian school. Okay, so we go verse by verse through the Word here. We are in the book of Romans, as you guys know. So if you will open your Bibles to Romans. We just finished chapter 9, 10, 11. Romans chapter 9, whose choice? We talked about God's sovereignty and man's free will. In Romans 10, we talked about how everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Romans 11, as God rejected his people, no way, Jose. That's the Darren paraphrase translation. And then Romans 12, we talked about how God wants to transform our lives. Just like that little car there, we might look ordinary on the outside, but on the inside, God wants to transform us into this awesome spiritual powerhouse fighting machine for the Lord. That's scary. Oh, yes. And you know what? Somebody said something about wanting to do name tags and permanent name tags for some of us here. And I remember somebody coming up and sharing that with me. But that was like weeks ago, and my little brain just went, yeah, it's a great idea. So if that was you, come mention to me after service, because I just want somebody else wants to do that, and so I just want to talk to you about that. Here.
Excuse me for interrupting, but before this morning, somebody was saying that, and it's so true, that when there's a spiritual attack, that it comes because we're doing things. And I think a few of us are sensing the bit of an attack this morning, and I suspect this is what's going to happen here through the teaching. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And so would you join me in prayer as we do just that? Mm-hmm. Father God, we do run to your name, Lord. And your name is all that you are, your love, your grace, your righteousness. And so, Lord, we run to that now. In your name, we rebuke the enemy. He has no authority here. This place, these people have been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy has no authority here, no right to be here. So we command you to go where Jesus sent you, because you may not be here. This place is holy ground. Let it be used for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to his people. And it is so.
Amen. Thank you. You know, I really love that you guys have the freedom to
give it up.
Yeah. Basically, speak up. If God puts a word on you, you share it. Somebody feels led to ask a question, If somebody feels led to give a word, you give a word. And God wants us to have that freedom. And actually, I think he wants to open us up a little bit more to that. And so, if God's putting something on your heart, whether it's during the teaching or during the worship, you know, feel free. You're allowed to speak it. And, okay. You want to start talking?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unusual, though.
I know it is. I was saying,
I'm just looking out for somebody that needs a mic.
I got you. Awesome. Okay. Well, why don't we do this? And since we started off, I think we're up to verse 9, but why don't we do a quick recap for a minute? And Okay, now here's the deal. If you guys, we're very informal here. Obviously, we're not a big, rich, fancy church, so we're pretty casual here. So we're just going to pass around the mic, and if you just each read maybe a verse or two, we'll just kind of... Yeah, just pass it down. We'll make you start and talk anyway. And one of you guys just start us off and just kind of pass it around and until we get down. We'll start off in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And then we'll go down all the way till, let's say, to verse, 9 or 10. Okay? So somebody want to start us off? Okay?
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith.
For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function.
So Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith.
If it is serving, let him serve. If his teaching, let him teach.
If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Good, good, good. Now we're starting off this next chapter. This is kind of where we left off. So basically, what we're talking about. Yeah, actually, Barbara, keep that mic. I'm going to make a name in a second.
All right.
So we're starting off right here in this chapter. Basically, God's saying, listen, all these chapters beforehand is talking about our salvation and our doctrine. He's saying, if you've accepted Christ, If you have decided to follow him, the first thing we do is we don't conform to the pattern of this world. The way the world goes, we don't want you to go that way. You have a way of thinking. You had a way of acting. You had a way of being before you got saved. And God's saying, I don't want you to live like that anymore. I want to renew your mind. I want to start giving you a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of acting, a new way of new pattern of life. I want you to start doing that. And I want you to get in a body. And I want you to really get in a body, not just go to church. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you can go to a church, a church of like 1,000, 10,000 people, and nobody can know whether you're dead or alive. He says, I want you to be in a body, in a church, whether big or small, and you're a part of that body. Because you've got different gifts, and I want you to use those gifts, right? To help with one another, to grow one another. I want you to be a part of that body. And he says, and then he's like, if you are that saved, if you are renewing your mind, you are a part of that body, you are using your gifts, then I want to show you this next chapter. I want to give you some practical stuff. Does anybody have a header for this, like around verse 9? What does your Bible say? Anybody have like a little head? What does it say?
Love.
Love? What else? Anything else?
Behave like a Christian.
Love in action? What's yours?
Behave like a Christian.
Behave like a Christian?
Marks of a true Christian.
Marks of a true Christian.
Love and respect.
Love and respect for others. Okay, these are all headings. Basically, it's like Paul's going to give us like a shotgun. Okay, these are some things or a machine gun, almost like a bunch of little commands. Hey, if you are this believer, here are some ways for you to be in the attitudes of your heart. This is what's to characterize you as a Christian. This is what you're to do as a believer. Okay, and he's going to rattle off a whole bunch of things. And so these aren't like suggestions. This is what God's word is saying that we're to be like or to become like. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. So let's read the first two verses, Barbara, verses 9 and 10 of Romans 12. Would you read this? I just entitled this Love More. And it says Romans 12, 9 to 21. You know how that happens. I always wanted to take a big chunk and then it ends up being a few verses. So we'll just see how it goes. I'm open to whatever the Lord wants. So this, God wants us to love more. So would you start us off in verse 9 and 10?
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another.
Good. Chris, did you get that light for a second, buddy? Thanks. I love how that's good. Let love be without dissimulation, and we'll go over some of that in a second. I think this is the New Living Translation, which makes it a little bit easier for at least people like me to understand. And it says, this is what it says for you and me as a Christian. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. You know, when I think about love, you know, it's the greatest thing. And that's what God's word even says in 1 Corinthians 13. It says that three things are going to last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And honestly, and then it goes on to say in Corinthians, when the perfect comes, you know what? That means Jesus. When he comes, you know, we're not going to need faith because we're going to see him as he is. We're not going to hope for his return. We're going to see him face to face. But you know what? We're still going to have the love of God with us forever. And so that's so important, is the love of Christ. When I see this thing, my translation says this. I think you read, love must be without dissimulation. Love must be sincere. That's what it starts with. Why is that so? Why does God's word say, as a Christian, that's so important? That love must be sincere. Why is that such a big deal?
Be real.
What?
Be real.
Okay, yeah, good. What?
And different from other people that are just being hypocritical, you know, like that?
I think that's good. What else?
Has to be genuine.
Why is that so important, though?
God loved us sincerely.
He loved us sincerely. Good.
It's going to distinguish us from the kingdom of darkness. Because we're in the kingdom of love, and light.
Yeah.
That love is going to make us shine.
Yes.
And that's what causes us to shine. And there's two kingdoms in this world. We're a part of one of them. And we, and in order to be obvious what kingdom we're a part of, we have to love.
You know, the Lord just reminded me of this, and this isn't just in Matthew. I'll just read it to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. It says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors or pagans doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? You know, God wants us, we can't love others without a supernatural love, can we?
No.
You can do it for a while, right? But he says that love must be sincere. And I think one of the reasons is because, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and verse 4, verse 16, that's who God is. He is love. And so as a Christian, if we don't display God's love, then something's wrong. How many of you guys have met a real Bible fathead?
Oh.
Now, what I mean by that is they know a lot of scripture, but they're just mean as all get out.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I'm not saying there are times when you have to be bold, right? There was times when Jesus called the religious leaders. Do you remember what he said to them?
Yes.
He called them hypocrites. What did he say?
Brood
of vipers. There are times when you do that. But if you look at Jesus' life, it is characterized by love. And honestly, even him calling that was a loving thing. Yeah.
I think what we have to remember is love. God's
here, real quickly. I'm interrupting you. Give me 1 second. Can people in the back hear what she's saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know if we needed the mic. Go ahead.
But God's love is not a feeling.
Right.
It's a decision to want what is the best for the other person. And oftentimes that best is, as Jesus did with the Pharisees of Redeemer.
Yes.
You know, it's giving them something.
Yes.
Or it's a gentle word.
Yes.
Or it's patience.
Yes.
But it's wanting the best.
Yes.
For the other person. It has nothing, it sometimes has nothing to do with feelings.
Yes. Yes.
Feelings aren't a necessary ingredient.
Yes.
And we confuse that in this society. Often, we think if we're not feeling loving or giving the other person what they want or what feels good, we're not loving. But love is doing what is the right thing for the other person.
I think, and even, yes, and I even think, I'm going to go one step further. You're 100% right, but I think it's doing the right thing for the Lord. In so doing, it's the right thing for the other person.
That's,
yes, ma'am.
Kind of.
Agreed.
Christ is the perfect example of that. He didn't feel like going to the cross.
Absolutely.
You know, an emotional desire.
Right.
That was his love for us.
Father, it's going to be great. I'm going to be crucified. All the saints of the world. Woo!
There you go.
But he did it.
Right.
Because why? Why did he do it?
Absolutely.
Yes. He sacrificed. You know, this is a pretty good, this is a hard word to swallow, but it's something we need to all take into consideration. Okay? You've got people, okay, you got Christians, you got Bible fatheads, and then you have the gift folks, and we love the word more than anything. I want every gift the Holy Spirit has for me. Okay? So just so everybody knows, okay? But however, sometimes you can get the Bible fathead that's all private, well, sometimes you can get the folks with the gifts that are all prideful. Well, I speak in tongues. Well, I have the gift of prophecy. Well, I have the gift of giving. I'm so generous. And this is what God says. Listen. This is in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but I have not love, what does it say, guys? You know what that is? That's a noise maker. If you ever had a kid with a cymbal, you know, like, shut up! Or have you ever bought your kid a drum set? What were you thinking? You know, when they take the little wood stick, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, hey, Dad, look at this. I can play the drums. It's like, I can't even hear myself think. That's what we are. Even if you speak, oh, I speak in tongues of men, oh, I have tongues of angels, whatever. But not only that, well, if I have the gift of prophecy, Well, that's a pretty important gift, isn't it? That's a, maybe the Bible says that's probably the most sought-after gift we should have. Well, I can fathom all mysteries, and I have all knowledge. Not partial knowledge. I have all knowledge. What does God say? And if I have faith that can move a mountain, I think that would be pretty awesome faith, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, and this is what he says. But have not love, I
am nothing.
Am nothing. If I give all I possess, not, I mean, I've seen some generous people that give some of their stuff, give their home, give their cars, give their clothes off their back. Like, we're talking, if I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, what have I gained?
Nothing.
Wow. So love is crucial, dudes and dudettes. In fact, John 13, oh yes, sorry, Susie. John 13, 35, it says this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Now, can I tell you an area that I'm, as a Christian, I'm embarrassed about? I'm a believer. I love the Lord. Welcome to 21st. Sometimes Christians can be the biggest knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, listen. There's a time when you need to speak the truth. Believe me, I do it. I feel like I used to have a little nickname for myself when I'm feeling having that pity party. I call myself the reluctant pastor. You know, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. I can't. Now I call myself Pastor Punching Bag. And so, you know, because sometimes the most loving thing to say is, hey, you're in this. You need to get out of it. It's damaging you. It's damaging others. It's damaging the body. No, whatever. They love you until you tell them something they don't want to hear.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, you've just right. ministered for me for 10 years. But now you're telling me something I don't like.
Yeah.
Bad person. But it's part of growing up. You know, just like your kids, you know, it's just part of, if you're a mature believer, you know it. You're a punching bag for somebody else
mm-hmm.
as they're learning and growing. So all of us are like that. But I like to think that, you know, feel sorry for myself. So anyway, it says that love must be sincere. And some of your translations says something else, right? Which is okay, dissimulation, genuine, I think you said. But basically that word sincere, not necessarily the word sincere itself, love must be sincere, means without wax. Sincere, without wax. And what they would do is back in the Roman times, in the Greek times, they would have these marketplaces and they would have these tents or under the trees, and you would go in and you'd sell pottery, right? And so what would happen is there'd be cracks in some of those pots. So what they would do was they would fill them with wax, okay? Because that took a lot of, you know, and then they would paint over them. So here in the shade of the tree or in the tent, right? It looks great. It's a great looking piece of pottery, and I'll take it. All right? Then when you get it home, and let's say you try to use that pot and the flames get turned up, what happens? Or as the heat's burning and the sun's burning on it, right? What happens to that wax?
It melts
away. And then only then you know, man, you got ripped off. Sincere means sincere, man, without wax. God doesn't want you to be fakey-bakey, a little faker-maker. You know what I'm saying? To be one way at church and one way at home. To be one way at your school and one way when you're with your... You have one with, oh, I'm with my Christian friends now, so I got to act this way. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see people like that?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you've been like that. Or maybe you are like that. God doesn't want that for you. Love must be sincere. And that love word is the word, there's different words in the Greek for love. We have one word. If I say, I love Breyers vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup. I love it. Amen. Now, I would also say, I love my wife. Now, I do love ice cream with chocolate syrup, you know what I'm saying? But I don't love it as much as my wife. So, in the Greek, they have different words for love. And there's different words, eros, where we get our word erotic, and that's like a very selfish, self-centered love. Then there's sterge, and there's phileo. One's a family love, one's a friendship love, and it's kind of reciprocal. I love you, you love me. And then there's a word that the Bible uses sometimes called agape. Love must be sincere. That's, he's saying, that's agape love. That's an unselfish love. That's a total giving love. He's saying, that's what I want you to be. I want your love like that to be sincere, without wax. It's not looking to see. People love you, if the world will love you, even church, for what they can get from you. Do you notice that?
Yep.
Many. Well, many of you and I can talk. I got stories and illustrations. People are here, they'll love you, quote unquote, but it's not a giving love. It's more of a self-centered.
For what you have.
What I can get from you, what you can give to me, whatever. But God wants us to have this agape love. And you can only get that from Him. That can only come from the Lord.
Is that the word He uses when He talks about His love for us?
Yes. In fact, excellent question. In fact, in the whole book of Romans, it's always used sharing God's love for us. That in all of the book of Romans, only one time is it used, and that's for saying for our love for God. This is the only time, the first time it's used in the entire book of Romans, where it's saying, kind of saying, I want you to have that kind of love towards other people. Yes, Devin?
Is there any way of changing stuff like
that? That's a great question. She said, is there any way of changing somebody? Now, this is a really super question, and I'm going to say two answers that are absolutely definitive. Yes and no. Okay? Let me tell you what I mean by that. No means that I have ministered to people for so many years. I've given them everything. And I've come to the conclusion I could be an example. I could say the right things, do the right things. Not that I'm perfect, but I could try to do it all just right for a long period of time. You can't question it. And I've come to the conclusion that I can't change them.
That's right.
Because they technically don't really want to change.
Ultimately, God wants us to be that example. But here's the thing that I wish it wasn't true. But I can't change somebody. They and the Lord. Right. Now you could be a good example to them.
Right.
You could not be a stumbling block for them. Sometimes your words, your actions could cause them to go the other way. But ultimately, it's between them and the Lord. And as they open their hearts to Him, as they do what Romans 12, start to renew their mind, their way of thinking with the Word of God, and start to obey Him by faith, and start to make those changes, God does a supernatural work from the inside out. So, yes, we can give the Word, we can show Jesus, but we can't make it happen. Great question.
Aren't you kind of like the wax?
Aren't I kind of like the what?
Wax. Aren't you trying to fill cracks?
Yeah. Well, let me think for a second.
Not you personally.
Not with wax. Metaphorically speaking.
You know what? I have to think about that. Usually your illustrations are amazing. Like, I feel like I should write them down. But I don't know if this one would quite hold because that melts. That wax goes along with it. With the
right.
Yeah, but I also am showing that God, I'm showing you not being a hypocrite, you know, because God has done a work in me. Not that I don't mess up sometimes, right? You guys see me mess up.
Your wax is good,
but it's not wax. It's not wax.
No, we are all.
It's not fake.
We are all wax.
I'm not waxing. Yeah, it goes back to sincere, but it's not wax. Here's another word. That word sincere there, love must be sincere. Okay, we're not even going to film in the first verse yet, but it's good stuff, okay, right? Love must be sincere. The word in Greek for that, some of you guys' translations might say this, it says, it's two words, it means, it's, and epakratos in the Greek, and it's two words, and it means without hypocrisy or no hypocrisy. So basically it's saying your love is not supposed to have hypocrisy. It's not supposed to have wax, you know? And so that's how God wants us to be, to live a pure life, to live a genuine life, to live an honest life, to live a godly life without the void of that wax. So when I screw up and I fail, I'm not a faker maker. I'm saying, man, I screwed up. I failed. Does that make sense? I'm being honest about it. Okay, we got lots of hands up, so you start, since you have the mic.
You are more like mortar
between bricks,
right,
than wax in a pot. Wax will fade away in the heat. But you know what happens with mortar in the heat? It gets stronger.
That's right.
It does.
All right, test around the flag. There's a lot of people who want to talk, so okay. Good words, good words. I want to hear what you have to say. Lots of hands up, so.
Your example to other people or your testimony to them exposes the wax that's in their life.
Yeah. Or in your own life.
Either one.
You can't fill in the cracks. You're just trying to solve some more cracks.
Well, God can fill in those cracks.
Yes, but you can't. But
that's some more. Jason, my hands. Go ahead.
One of the things that he asked, if you're not, aren't you the wax? And the truth is that no. When we help another person be not genuine,
yes,
or a fake, when we contribute,
yes,
to that,
yes,
then we're like wax.
Yes.
Yes.
Because wax is contributing to deception.
Yes.
And so you're not like wax. What you're doing is you expose the cracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cracks may be exposed. We are really in one another to expose those things and let them know what the answer is, what the solution is, who heals that pot, and can use those crack pots,
yeah,
that we all are.
You're the heat.
And Christ, actually, he is not the heat. Christ is the heat.
Because
he will know exactly when to turn that heat up and how high.
And that actually sometimes it exposes that we do have a hypocrite in an area. And that God asks that we have to deal with it. Then we can choose to either get mad at God or get mad at somebody who said it or just deal with it.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
We are all sinners that are without wax, but we are all also like wax. Because, you know, if you are sincere, the wax is going to fill in the cracks, okay? And if you're sincere, that wax is going to stay there.
No, but the point is, sincere means without wax. And that's,
I understand that, but
yeah,
but still, if you are sincere about what, about changing, that wax is going to stay there to mold together whatever it is you're trying to change.
And here's what I'm going to say. Yeah, you can grab the microphone. But
okay.
Here's what I'm going to say, Ernie. I hear what your heart is trying to say. But no, it doesn't stay there. What happens is when God grips my heart, when I surrender to him in an area, you know, let's say I'm greedy. Let's say I'm a slanderer. Let's say I'm into pornography. Let's say I'm, you name it, whatever. You know, and I surrender myself. You know, he comes in and he heals that completely. He doesn't say, you're a hypocrite there. I'm just going to leave the wax there. No, that's when he brings in the mortar. That's when he takes it himself and glues it together and makes it stronger than before so that it won't break down.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, the wax becomes like glue is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you're like wax.
Go ahead.
You're also, it becomes like glue.
In our flesh, we try to fill everybody with that and think it's going to do the job, but God's the only one, like you said, that will mold it.
Yes.
We can't fill those cracks. We can serve, we can minister, we can be an example,
yes,
but God is the only one that can change a person's heart.
Right.
And I think a lot of us live in frustration because
we're trying to
lead that horse to water. We can't make them drink.
Yes.
We can't change that heart.
Or when you're also, you can't change your own heart too.
No, right. So it's only God. And I know, like even raising kids, it's like we want to beat it into them and make them. We can't change their heart.
Yeah,
right.
So you just have to pray for them and allow God to heal those cracks.
Yes, like back in the Old Testament time with the Greeks and the Romans, a hypocrite basically is the Greek word for an actor. So here's what would happen if it was basically Hollywood for, they had these big amphitheaters, right? And what they would do is they would use these big masks, happy, sad, you know what I mean? But in underneath was the real character, and that was a hypocrite, is the one that would wear the masks. And that's what God is saying. I don't want you to be like that. I want your love to be sincere. I want your life to be sincere without putting on a mask, okay? Or without wax. He goes on to say that love, okay, we're not even done with the numbers. Love must be sincere. But, listen, here's something to think about. You can have love, the most loving person in the world, but if you don't combine it with truth, do you know what love without truth is?
Pity.
It's hypocrisy. If you are, well, I just want to love them, so I let them do whatever they want. I just love. That's hypocrisy. You mean, now truth without love is brutality. You can give somebody the truth without love and bludgeon them. You need both, love and truth. So God's saying love must be sincere, but he's also saying the truth has to go with it, guys. I want you to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. I remember, this is kind of a funny story. I remember my Bible college teacher, okay, and one of my Bible college First Johns, he told a story of after a sermon, a mom, he's not an eloquent man. He's kind of a blunt man, Anyway, so after the teaching, a mom and her daughter came up and they were very angry. And the mom said, well, my daughter wants to speak to you. Okay. He's like, all right. He's like, you said something in your, you said a bad word in your sermon. And of course, his mind is racing. He's like, what did I say? It's possible I did say something dumb. So he's trying to think, and he goes down, and he's like, and then the little girl said, you used a bad word in your sermon today, and I'm very offended. The little girl said, it's like, what is it, honey? What did I, couldn't remember what he said. He's like, if I said something bad, I will apologize. He's like, we're Christians, and we don't use the word hate. And so he thought about it for a minute, and so he bent down. He's like, well, sweetie, thank you so much for coming, and I do appreciate what you're saying, but you tell your mommy that God uses the word hate in the Bible.
That's right.
And he does. Now listen, God's not saying I want you to hate the person. He wants you to hate the sin. You love the sinner. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Listen, this is what... Oh, yeah. And here's the reason why. I forgot to put this in here at the last minute this morning. God's love is all there, but there's also truth to it. There are conditions on it. So sometimes you'll have to say things. And this is what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. He says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. In other words, oh, I just want to love them, we'll accept everything. You can't do that. You have to have truth with it. Because don't fool yourself, God's word says. Those who indulge, who've made a lifestyle of sexual sin, or worship idols, or commit adultery, or male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people. If this is what you are, and this is your lifestyle, not that you don't struggle with it now and again, or God's overcoming as you're learning and growing, but this is your lifestyle, you've just chosen, then it says none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a strong word, isn't it? But it's true. But then he also says, hey, some of you were once like that. Isn't it true? I was some of those things. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He changes our lives. There are six things the Lord hates, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. He hates this. And seven that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes. What's that?
Pride.
A lying tongue. Oh, it's just a little white lie. No, call it what it is. It's a lie. God says he hates it. Hands that shed innocent blood. Think about that for those things for abortion or whatever. A heart that devises wicked plans. Well, I'm going to so get back at her. I'm going to so get back at them. He hates that. A false witness who breathes out, oh, feet that run towards evil. False witness who breathes out lies, or one who sows discord amongst the brother. Man, I don't like other churches. You should go to another church. Oh, no, I think you should. Oh, that pastor, I can't believe he would tell you that. Yeah. Man, I hate that, God's saying. Proverbs, listen to this. 8:13. If anyone respects and fears God, he'll hate evil. It's okay to do that in this our society. Oh, I don't want to say hate. God wants you to hate evil. Yeah. It says, for wisdom hates pride, arrogance, corruption, and deceit of every kind. And Psalm 97:10 says, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked one. Listen, he wants you to hate evil. And then he wants you to... Hold on, the Lord's bringing something to mind. Hold on a second. Sorry, guys. Give me just 1 second here. Interesting. Okay. The word... Thank you for the mind. For Captain Chris. The word hate there, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. That word hate is only used one time in the Greek and the Bible, that particular Greek term. And when it says, I want you to hate what is evil, it means, some of your Bibles will say abhor.
Abhor.
Some will say what it means in Greek, I want you to utterly detest that which is evil. It says, I want you to have a horror of it. That's what the definition means, to have a horror. I want you to hate it, not hate the person. But hate, because they know that sin is killing them and killing others around it. And the acceptance of that sin is killing others around them. I want you to hate it.
You say horror, I think scared.
You
scared of it?
No, just like so, like in horror, like just so, man, ugh.
You
want to
avoid it.
Just, yes. And then it says, I want you to hate what is evil, and I want you to cling to what is good. Now, that's how this little cartoon brings clinging to something good to a whole new level. I just thought it was kind of funny. But the bottom line, that's what he wants you to do. Like it says in Matthew, when Jesus was talking, they were talking about marriage, and he said, you know, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cling or cleave to his wife. That's what he's talking about. Like back in Genesis, I want you, the word in Greek means glue. That's what literally means. Kaleo. It means glue. I want you to... It's like gorilla glue. Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. I want you to be gorilla glued to what's good. I want you to be gorilla glued to your husband or wife. Because the two become one. That's why it's so important. So he's like, I want you to be gorilla glued to what's good. Because the world's going the other way. And so I want you to cling to what is good. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks. The next verse says, be devoted to one another with brotherly love. What does that mean? What do you think that means? The Bible says, be devoted to one another. That seems like a strong word, doesn't it?
Love your brother as yourself.
Okay, good.
Love your brother more than yourself.
What?
Love your brother more than yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's a little harder to do.
Yeah.
Nobody said it was easy.
Being devoted is kind of like being consistent, too. It's not just, you know, love them today, you know, and not tomorrow and the next day. I mean, being devoted to something, it's an ongoing thing.
Yes. You know what? I think we fail so much in this area, too. So embarrassing. I mean, I'm thinking, gosh, Lord, oh, your poor name. He devoted. That word is also only used one time in the Bible, and it's used commonly of the kinship between like parents and children. I want you to be devoted in that way. You know what I mean? You know how you love your kids, even when they're complete knuckleheads? Not that mine ever are. Or you know what I mean? I want you to be devoted. I want you to be that kind of a family. Even if somebody takes you off, you work it through. Or even if somebody, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I just want to go to the... You know, everybody's, I want to go to people and tell me what I want to hear. Gary, you had something to say.
If you're devoted to something, you invest yourself in it.
Right.
Yes.
And you're not half-hearted. I think a lot of people, when you talk about being loving, they'll go so far, and then you won't go any further.
Well, you know, the prodigal son I'm thinking of. You know, that dad was devoted. He went and he said, Dad, I want to take your money. I wish you were dead. I want the money now. I don't want to wait till you're dead. I want the money now. I want to go out and have a good time while I'm still young, so my elves do my thing, hang out, party a little bit. That's what he wants to do. So basically he told his dad, yeah, I wish you were dead. And he took off. He took off. And he lived the party life, right? And then what happens? He lost all the money after time. And he said, I'm just going to be repented. He was eating pig slop. And he came back and he said, oh, maybe my dad will take me back as a hired again. You know, and I don't even know. I'll just say I'm sorry. Maybe he'll feed me. Maybe he'll take me back. And what did the dad do because he was devoted to his son? He ran to him. That was unheard of in that day. He ran to him, wrapped his arms around him. Dad, I'm so sorry. Now, hey, you're coming back. And you know what? If this place, if somebody ever says anything or we ever say something that you don't like, if we're addressing a sin issue here, let me tell you take your ball and go home and do your thing or whatever. I want to let you know, man, we love you. You're always welcome back here. If you want to repent and come, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have. I was causing somebody to stumble. I was screwing up there. I got too mad. I said the hugs all the way around. Because that's what the Father would do. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. That word is Philadelphia. That's what, I don't know if Philly is actually a very lovely place, but that's what it means. And then it says, honor one another above yourself. How do you do that practically? How do I honor? What does that mean? Tell me what it means practically, guys. What does that look like?
Respect one another.
Excellent. Yes?
Setting down your device to listen to them when they need to be heard.
What does that mean?
That's practical. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Your actual
device. I think.
Oh, you mean your actual device, not your metaphorical device.
Your actual device, the things that we are so consumed in this world that we are devoted to also. Really setting it down and saying, I'm going to honor you even though I've got this agenda,
yes.
Even though I've got this hobby,
yes.
And just be in your world for a moment, a while, and be 100% present,
yes.
For you and the things that you need to tell me or want to tell,
yes.
Me. And I think it's the same with the Lord,
yes.
is giving that that. Yourself completely,
yeah.
Without,
yes.
The busyness of your distraction.
Is that a sacrifice sometimes?
Yes. Yes.
Devotion,
yes.
Is always a sacrifice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if somebody comes in and wants to tell you their story about how, you know, you sit and listen to them. Maybe you pray for them. If they want, if this is the fifth time they've done it, but Lord, I want to be there for them. What else? How else? What does that mean to honor one another? The story that comes to my mind is, remember the story of Abraham and Lot?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that in Genesis?
Yes.
You know, they had so much stuff that they're like the herdsmen. You know, God said, hey, I'm going to give you all this land, blah, blah, blah. And, well, I won't say blah, 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 God, but you know what I mean. And Abraham's like, hey, why are we fighting? Listen, here's all this land. He said, even though God gave it to him and his family. And what did he say? He said, Lot, you choose. Whatever you want. If you say, you go over here, I'll take all my flocks and herds and stuff, and I'll go over here. You choose. I'm preferring your needs ahead of my own. When you come here, everybody wants, it's all about me. They didn't talk to me. They didn't say something to me. Instead of saying, man, how can I bless you? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? That should be your heart as a Christian. But Abraham said, hey, whatever you choose. And then Lot, of course, Lot didn't say, no, Abraham, thank you. He's like, hey, all this land over here, it's all nicely watered. It's like the Garden of Eden. Yeah, I'll take that. You can take the kind of dry desert land. Now, if you know what happens right afterwards,
mm-hmm.
Lot gets captured, his stuff gets captured, he Abraham has to rescue him. He ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah, which gets the whole, you know, you remember wife killer salt. Not a good scenario. But preferring others' needs ahead of your own. What else? Yes, Sue.
Recognizing that every person on this earth, irregardless of their mental capacity, their upbringing, their social status, whatever, is a precious creation of God.
Yes.
That He created and has known since before, you know, they were brought into the world, and has a desire to see well come to them. Everyone in that way.
The world looks, here's how the world looks. It's how high you are. They're always looking down on somebody. But you know, Jesus was, he said he was the servant of all. He went and washed his disciples' feet. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, I'm doing this as an example so that you'll go and do likewise. Now listen, the world looks at you, says, you want to be a servant to others? Loser. Weak. And instead, God's saying, you know what? They don't even realize you're the strong one. You're the powerful one. You're the godly one. You're the one that's honoring. Preferring their needs ahead of mine. It's the opposite of the world. God's saying, I want you to do that for me. I want you to do that for them because I love them. God.
I think that's key because I think it's really easy to get into a love relationship with anyone else where you're putting their needs above yours either temporarily or you're getting something back from them. But that's just that warm, fuzzy feeling you get from doing something nice to someone else. But if it's out of service for the Lord,
yes,
and you realize that you're doing it not just arbitrarily to those that are easy to do too, but
yeah,
to those that are the most difficult to do too, I think that's where you want to heart.
That's exactly right. Go ahead.
Sometimes we have to do things that aren't comfortable.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if you're ministering Jesus, you have to do things that are uncomfortable. Can I hear something? Yeah.
But even in that, it's genuine love. If you're doing something like you're disciplining your kids, and you know it's you don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
But you need to do that. Love that is not genuine is, I mean, love is the attribute of our Lord that draws the unbelieving world to Him,
yes,
through the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, so if it's not genuine, not only can they tell, but
yes,
not.
That's a good point. But, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I don't know if I should, but Elijah, I don't know if Hezekiah, I don't know where he's at, but maybe he dodged a bullet, maybe he's in the bathroom. you get discipline. You got discipline, maybe your discipline's changing how it looks like now. But and I just would rather you be honest, okay? So but yeah, I do want you to be honest. You know, was there ever a time you didn't enjoy the discipline when it was going on, right? Never fun. But I want you, are you, maybe it's a stretch, are you thankful for it now, looking back? Just, and I'd rather you be honest. Are you thankful for the discipline now, looking back? Are you glad your mom and dad disciplined you, or are you not? Yeah, go ahead.
It was rough, honestly, but honestly, it did treat me very well. Mom said the Lord wants to chisel you almost into a perfect spot. That's kind of what discipline did to me. But what did you find?
If you didn't hear what he said it's almost like, said it wasn't fun, I didn't like it, it was painful, but it was almost like the Lord was chiseling me into what He wants me to be.
Yeah.
And that's what that discipline does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, it goes on to say, I mean, Galatians 6:10, we're supposed to be like a family. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You should be looking for ways to bless folks everywhere, but especially in this body. Honor one another above yourselves. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And then this, we'll probably stop here with this last verse, but he says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I circled the word never because sometimes I do lack zeal. I don't know if it's a guy thing, or if it's just a tired thing, or if it's just a whatever. Sometimes I'm like, man, God, I just need a little bit of a break. You know? And then the Lord's like, I need you to renew my heart. I need you to renew my mind. And maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you used to love God's word. Every morning you would wake up and you're sucking it in and God's speaking to you and showing you stuff and you don't do that anymore. And maybe you would love to come to church because, man, I could get something, but I'm going to bless somebody. Maybe you forgot about that. Maybe the Lord's, he was on your tongue, he was in your mind, he was in your eyes and in your heart, and you used to love that. And somehow some of that slipped away. And I remember in Revelation chapter 3 where he said to the church, he said, I know you love me, but you've lost your first love. He said, I wish that you were hot or cold, you know, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He doesn't want us to be lacking zeal, but he wants us to keep it. That means I can lose that spiritual fervor. He wants you to keep it. And he wants you to serve the Lord. Listen, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap a harvest if we faint not or if we do not give up. So continue on. Continue with that zeal. Ask the Lord to help you with that, so they can draw you back into that relationship. And remember, it's the Lord you're serving. Listen, guys, don't ever, if you ever come, well, I vacuumed once in 3 years ago and nobody said thank you, so I'm never doing it again. I served the children's ministry for 6 months and nobody ever really said thank you. Well, if those things did happen, now I'm not saying it happened, if that happened, I'm very sorry. We want to say thank you. You're a blessing. Anyone who serves here, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. But you're not really working for me or for us. You're working for the Lord.
Amen.
We take it, well, I did all this stuff for this group, or I did stuff for the Bible study, and I did, you don't even know what everybody else is doing. A lot of times, the younger the Lord, I did all this stuff and all this. I'm thinking, man, that. You kind of look and smile, and you think, gosh, the person next to you has done 100 times more. It's just they're not telling me about it. But that's okay. Remember, it's the Lord you're serving. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, working it with all your heart is working for the Lord. If no one ever thanks you, it's okay because God says thank you. Good job. You're not working for human masters since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. He says in Ephesians 6:7-8, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good you do. You don't ever need to worry because God sees everything that you're doing and the good that you're doing around you. If I never say thank you, or Gary never says thank you, or Tom never says thank you, or Carl, Dad, Randy, whatever, or your small group, or your Bible study, God says thank you. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. You never have to worry about that. I heard somebody say, Darren,
if you're doing it for a thank you, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good. If you're doing it for a thank you, then that's your reward. You've received it.
Yes.
We all have the heart to do that. Not to the Lord. We're storing up our treasure in heaven.
Amen.
We don't need anyone here to see it because our Father is going to see it.
Yes. Amen. That's good. Yes. We have to remind ourselves of that, don't we? Because we can all, the enemy's like, they don't even care that you did all that. You gave that thing, that you served in that way, that you blessed that person. They don't see it, they don't know, they don't care. Take your phone, go home. And God's like, oh no, honey, I see it all. Great job. And you know what? You know why they probably aren't? Because they're just serving the Lord. They're not looking for us, or they're thinking, well, you're just serving the Lord too. Yes, Lord.
And conversely, I've had, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn in any way, but I mean, I've actually had people say to me, well, you're being too nice. And so my t-shirt says, I will never apologize for being kind.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, well, you're just being too nice about that. I'm like,
you know? It's like you can't win.
Yeah. Please.
But remember, but if you have opportunity to say thank you, say thank you. And if we've ever forgotten you, thank you. Thank you.
But if we do it for a thank you from others, God said we won't.
Yes.
Lord, see,
yes.
We're getting that earth.
Right, but I also want to have an attitude of gratitude towards the Lord and towards others. That still, it shows Christ. So, but if you never get that, you know that the Lord is pleased with you. It's Him that you serve. I have a really great illustration, but I'm going to wait till next week because it's already over. So, is there any closing comments before we pray? If there are, I'd love to hear.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, we just say, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, will you help us first that our love would be sincere, that would be without wax, would be without hypocrisy? Would you root out anything in us that's waxed in and painted over and refill it with your mortar? Lord, will you indeed help us to hate what's evil, Lord, and to take a stand for what's good, cling to it, Lord God. Will you help us to love one another with that family devotion, devoted to one another, Lord, and to the body, Lord, and to prefer others ahead of ourselves, Lord God. Will you help us to remember that it's you that we serve, Lord God, in all these things, Lord God. Would you take your servants and would you just give them a big spiritual hug right now, Lord God? Would you build them up? Would you lift them up? And if you're challenging some folks with some stuff right now, I say thank you, Lord, for that. So, Lord, remove anything that's waxy and fill it in with everything that's with and of you, Lord. Build us up into a body that really does serve you and love you the way we should. Encourage your people today. Bless them this week, Lord God. And bring them back either for the women's Bible study or the Thursday night barbecue or whatever, Bible study, whatever you want, Lord. Just teach your people, encourage your people. Let them never be lacking in zeal, Lord God. Stir their hearts. Even this next morning, Lord, you would remind them that, hey, wake up. Spend time with me. Spend time in my word. Let me refresh you, Lord. You need to remind them of that, Lord, and that they would choose to take the time. Lord, help them to keep and me to keep our spiritual form. We ask you this, and we ask for your blessing on each person here, your wonderful, amazing servants, in Jesus Christ's name. Vow for everyone. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Everyone see you.